wake on up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Back to school to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool.
Oh, I can't wait for Billy Madison 2 on Netflix. Oh, that'll be a good one. Good morning to all you lovely people. Just getting off work, getting ready for work. Getting ready for school, as Billy Madison is saying right there. I dropped off the little ones yesterday, first day of school out in the Oakland Unified School District, so that was good. Shout out Benny and Nora, and shout out to all you kids, you young whippersnappers, or the adults out there that are transitioning to college, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, whatever you are. We appreciate you and your participation on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Yes, school is back. I have my glasses on, so I feel like I'm a teacher right now. Like, I have like my cool teacher look on today, Joe. I got like my rolled up sleeves.
There's no such thing.
I got my slacks on.
No, I'm stopping you. There's no such thing as a cool teacher.
What?
There's no.
You're a hate.
Well, that's just incorrect. There's lots of cool teachers.
Come on,
out
dude.
There.
The teacher that sits on the desk, crisscross applesauce, and says, hey, call me Mr. S, not Mr. Spadoni.
That was literally the coolest teacher ever, was the ones who just Mr. first initial.
You know what? First day of school, tear up these books. You're not going to need them. We're going to have life lessons here. That's what we're going to do here on the Morning Roast.
We're going to learn outside today.
That's right. Outside the lines as we go ESPN. We're going outside the lines. You think that's what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are telling this team? You know what? We're going outside of the box here, starting school. When it comes to this 2025 season.
You loved school, didn't you?
No, I hated school. I was a C student. I was not.
Yeah, what's wrong with liking school?
I did not like school. I couldn't sit still. So I don't like sitting in classrooms. I don't like sitting in meetings. I don't like sitting in any of those settings.
You're like really excited for the show meeting today.
I had to commute like a longer way from school, from somewhere I lived in Pacific Grove to Salinas. Is like a, like with traffic, it was like a 40-minute drive. So not fun. So like I had to drive. After taking the bus that took an hour to get there, my freshman and sophomore year, junior, senior year driving, yeah, it was a pain in the ass. So I had to get up earlier than I wanted to, and it was not fun. Straight up, not having a good time at school.
Paying you for your job now.
But thankfully, I had a good, like, I had a cool mom that would always write me a note that why I was late. So there was car problems or, you know, I was packing his lunch or something like that. So my mom hooked it up every time I was late into first period.
You were that kid.
I was that kid. So shout out Mama Spadoni. She was hooking it up there. And shout out to all of those who are listening to us as we are coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. We are going back to school, Shasky, because I had a thought yesterday as I was dropping off the kids. I was looking around the hallways, the classrooms, and you know, they have their opening day orientation, so they invite the parents to come out there, and it's just a cluster, you know what, out there, all the kids. There's kids crying. I don't want to leave. They're the first timers. The other kids are just shooting the breeze, saying, hey, what's up, dude? So there was a lot taking place yesterday, but I started thinking, when it comes to the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan in particular, you know, I think of coaches, and you should think of a coach as a teacher, right? And you're a coach, and I wanted to pick your brain when it comes to this stuff. Obviously, there's the teaching element of the fundamentals of the sport, the tackling, right? You know, holding on to the football. There's just fundamental things when it comes to the sport. Now, there's the X's and O's. There's the geometry. There's the trigonometry. There's the algebra 2. There's the calculus. And right, when it comes to peewee and getting all the way up to the NFL, NFL's like the calculus. You get to the final leg, right? I look at this team right now, and I feel like they're kind of on, they need to hit the fundamentals first and foremost. But hitting the fundamentals, you got to have the bodies out there. And I just don't know, Joe, as great as Kyle Shanahan is, as an X's and O's guy, as a teacher of football, it gets to a point where even the Kyle Shanahans of the world don't have the bodies. And I don't know if that's an excuse or not, because I'm not an excuse maker. Everyone's dealing with injuries left and right. The Chargers losing their left tackle, right? They're dealing with injuries. The Eagles losing Landon Dickerson. They're dealing with injuries. It's not unique to the 49ers. But that being said, I look at all the different cues as in questionable on the depth chart right now, and it's starting to get red everywhere, and not in a good way, as I go red and gold. It's red for O and Q, out and questionable on the depth chart. It's getting to a point where I'm feeling like if somehow, some way, Kyle Shanahan is able to get this roster to the playoffs, that might be more impressive than him getting this team to a Super Bowl. Like, in years past is what I'm saying. You know, they got to the Super Bowl a couple years ago with, like, a Mr. Irrelevant, and that was incredible. They had a lot of really good players. They had an offensive player of the year candidate. They had an MVP candidate, and Brock Purdy as their quarterback. You know, if they're able to get to the playoffs this year, Kyle Shanahan's got to be the coach of the year. I'm saying that right now on August 12th. Do I sound insane when I say that?
No, I get where you're going with this. Their team has seven high-priced guys, and then a bunch of unknowns. And, you know, right now on paper, although they have some name recognition that are like superstars, we don't know where they're at in their career. Like, I don't know where Trent's at in his career. He had a bad year last year.
For his standards, it was bad.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Great grading on his curve. We don't know where CMC's at right now. I mean, he's the kid that basically was sick all of last year in school, and we don't know if he's going to come back and be a 4.0 student or not, using your back-to-school
analogy. I'm loving all these analogies, yes. And you want to get Amari Cooper right now for this wide receiver
room. Well, I want him to transfer in.
He's a transfer student. I said foreign exchange student.
He's in District Dover. We want to get him over here, play on our PE team.
There you go.
But, like, Fred Warner is, like, your, you know, student body president, if you will. He's everything that you look for in somebody who's going to set the tone for the entire enrollment.
Fred Warner's the kid, as we're going the school analogy here, as we're going back to school with the 49ers. Fred Warner is the kid that you want to hate, but he's the jock that's also really good at football, but really freaking smart. And he's also a really nice guy. So
he's the prom king.
He's the prom king. But he's
everything.
He's nice to the nerds because he does like school projects with them, but also cool with the jocks. He is the ultimate badass.
Yeah, no doubt. And then obviously Brock Purdy is the freshman who, you know, somehow made varsity and is amazing.
Right.
Looks like he should be in fifth grade.
Right, exactly. He's the overachiever, right?
But I go back to this and I say to myself, like, on paper, they're really thin. And then your eyeball test tells you when you watch them at practice, they're really thin. Then you see the game and it comes out and they're really thin. They're going to need quantum leaps from a lot of, you know, underclassmen to step up and play above what their expectation level is. When I go to 2019, why they did so well, like, you hit on your first two picks. And when I mean hit, you hit like grand slams.
Right.
Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel.
Are you kidding me? All pro players immediately.
Right?
And
Deebo was awesome his rookie year. And then you made an in-season trade and got yourself Emmanuel Sanders, which was a nice move. Jimmy bounced back and was really good. He gave you the best, to that point, quarterback season by the metrics since Jeff Garcia.
Yes.
Almost 20 years.
I know we forget Jimmy Garoppolo was a good Niner. He was.
He was
a good Niner.
No doubt.
You want to say he's awful and he sucks and this.
Well, he did at the end.
At the end.
But in terms of, you know, when he got hurt in the 2021 season and he let himself down and he let the team down, but he was also playing with a bum shoulder.
He was also part of the reason why the Niners came back to relevancy again.
Yeah.
He was a major piece of that.
No doubt. All true. And then I look at, like, on paper, that team, we didn't know that Richard Sherman had an all-pro year in him.
No.
He was kind of in a weird spot. Like, he didn't look great in 2018 when he signed with the Niners. He was kind of, And then they had some great safety play, and Dee Ford, who was a huge injury concern, ended up staying just healthy enough for them to squeeze the lemon on him. You got quantum leaps forward from Eric Armstead. At that point, a career year. You got a monster year from DeForest Buckner. Everything kind of clicked. You had injuries. Quan Alexander got hurt, and then Dre Greenlaw kind of stepped in and was really good. And their offensive line did just enough, and their special teams did just enough. And then all around you, things happened within the division. Todd Gurley was never the same.
Nope.
And they couldn't really find a replacement for him. And so Seattle stepped up that year. Mm-hmm. And they were still kind of an odd team in transition. And you ended up finding a way to get the number one seed that year. You know, Aaron Rodgers was awesome. But looking back, you body bagged that team in the NFC Championship game.
Crushed them. And that was a guy that, you know what? looking back, probably should have gone after Aaron Rodgers when he had the opportunity. Don't want to go down that road. But again, we're using the school analogy, Joe. Talking about grading things on curves a little bit.
But I think, like, New Orleans was the team we were looking at throughout the regular season as, like, oh, that could be the team that you're facing in the playoffs, and you didn't even get a chance to face them. You got the Vikings.
Kirk Clutchins, you beat him, you upset him, and everyone, I think Niner fans knew then, like, hey, this is wide open.
100%.
Wide open. And it's kind of how you felt about this team, right? When you see, you know, and this was frustrating a couple of years ago, when you see the Cincinnati Bengals and they beat the Chiefs before you have your game. It's like, oh, we're going to play the Bengals and it's not the Chiefs and we've lost to them. And it didn't happen. NFC Championship loses to the Rams, SoFi Stadium. But I kind of want to get into this at 888-957-9570. You know, grading on a curve this year, is that acceptable to do when it comes to injuries? Can we grade the 49ers on a curve this season? Are you allowing for the possibility
when I say
grade on a curve? You know what a curve is?
No, like, I know, but like, what was your calibration before the season started?
Well, I thought they should compete for the division. I thought,
okay, I agree.
I don't know if they can compete for the division right now. I don't know if they have the bodies available to do that.
I think in the NFL, with this coach, that quarterback, I would never rule that out. To me, if you win 10 games in the NFL almost every year, it is damn near, that is a great year.
But I guess,
I know some teams are like coming off of, you know, winning a Super Bowl and they're a little deeper or whatever. 10 wins, 11 wins in the NFL is a great year for almost every team in the league.
I guess what I'm saying is the expectations of this team, if they do not reach them for you, is it a failure of a season? Because I don't think it's as simple as this team doesn't make the playoffs and it's just complete and utter collapse, failure, calamity. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be some hard truths to come out. Shout out Stannis of the House Baratheon. Hard truths cut both ways. Like, Shanahan's seat's going to get hot if they don't make the playoffs this year. That is going to be a thing.
If the quarterback goes down, he's going to get a lot of heat.
Well, that's going to be interesting. If the quarterback goes down in one Brock Purdy, but they have success with Mac Jones,
well, yeah,
I don't know.
But there's always going to be this conversation of, you know, 2018, your quarterback went down for a season-ending injury, all right? 2019, he stayed healthy all the way through, but at the very, very end, he got hurt in the Super Bowl game, the concussion. He got hurt in 2020. 2021, he ended the season getting hurt. You also got Trey Lance. He got hurt twice that year. 2022, how many guys did you go through? 2023, you stayed healthy. Quarterback ended up, you know, finishing it. 2024, he got hurt again. Like, every single year, like, there's a commonality there. Like, I do believe, even if they have a good team, that we're going to have a discussion about quarterback protection and why does this team continue to get its quarterback hurt at the end of the year?
Well, are they having that conversation, like, in the Cincinnati? Is it Cincinnati's fault that Joe Burrow keeps getting hurt? Like,
they're not coming at
Zach Taylor, you know?
Yeah, but last year why they didn't make the playoffs wasn't because of Joe Burrow's health. It was because of the defense.
No, I'm saying, but years prior, like health has been a concern for Joe Burrow throughout his career.
Sure.
It's been health. So,
sure.
And I don't see any heat coming down on Zach Taylor when it comes to
that. I think Zach Taylor, a lot of people are saying that's the job Belichick should want.
Belichick's cooked. Like, he's not coming back to the NFL, as far as I'm concerned, right? That's just me when it comes to that. But are you allowing for a grading on a curve for Kyle Shanahan this season, Niner fans? Or is it a simple pass-fail for you? Like, is it make the playoffs, success, don't, failure? 888-957-9570. How are you grading Kyle Shanahan this season, I guess I will ask? Because I don't know. Is that a cop-out to say, I don't know how you should grade this team right now? Because there's part of me, Joe, that wants to say, you know what? When you have all these different all-pro players, you should be competing for a division. You should be competing for the playoffs. I've told you time and time again, hey, it's the Eagles and it's wide open. I've been strong on that, and I'm still right there. It's pretty much wide open after the Eagles. But again, the Eagles have just shown you they're an injury or two away from being, you know what? Maybe we're screwed. Hell, if Jalen Hurts goes down, like, who's their backup? Is it Mariota still? I don't even know who's their big. Exactly. Like, that's what I'm getting at here. And now you could say that for a lot of quarterbacks, and that's why it was important, I think, to bring in, like, a Mac Jones, because you have someone serviceable back there, because we've seen time in and time out, the Brandon Allens of the world aren't going to get it done. But when I say that to you, Joe, like, you know, pass-fail only for Kyle Shanahan, is that unfair to say I'm only grading the season pass if they make the playoffs, failure if they don't. Is that fair?
I'm not sure. I legitimately don't know today. I don't know. Because I don't know. I don't have a good feel for what this team is. Like, is Juwan James out all year, or is he going to come back? Like, I think that matters to
but
me.
But now we're getting, now we're getting the injury excuse, though. Like, that's but what that, I'm saying. Is that allowed for a coach that's been here this long, the injury excuse, when him and John Lynch, they put this roster together? They put this roster together. So the lack of depth is their fault.
I look at it like your body of work does matter, right? Yes. And your body of work is pretty overwhelming that you're a really good coach, to me. And judging it just on one singular season is not how I'm going to do it. Now, look, you go 6-11 again, like that is a failure. 6-11 is a failure. If you go 8-9 and you lose some heartbreakers and CMC only plays like 7 or 8 games and Juwan is like in and out of the lineup all year and, you know, Brock still has a decent season and the defense is a work in progress and I'm feeling really confident about all these young guys that they've drafted and I feel like I'm building towards something, then yes, then I still think it can be a successful season. Like, but ultimately the NFL is year to year. It's very year to year. You cannot go 6-11.
No, you cannot.
That I would say 6-11 is out. Anything in the 7-6-5 win zone is a complete failure.
Well,
especially when you just paid. Like, here's how I view it: your most important players, Fred, Kittle, Purdy, are all in their prime currently, as well as Bosa and Diamond Lenore. Those are your five top. Those are in. They're in their prime, making big money. You got to be better than 6-11. You just do.
Well, I'll say this, though. When it comes to, you know, the quarterback, if his quarterback goes down, is Shanahan at fault for that? Is John Lynch at fault for that? Is that their problem? Like, again, this is why I asked the question, because that is the one position that could just totally tank a season.
So 2022.
Totally tank it.
Forget the Trey Lance injury. Just move that to the side. Jimmy got destroyed in the Tampa Bay game and the Saints games leading up to, or not say Tampa Bay, the Saints game leading up to the Miami Dolphin game, was getting destroyed. Yes. Now, I remember coming on air with Bonte weeks leading up, like, bro, he's getting hit way too much. He's not going to survive. He's getting hit too much. And then he got his foot broken on a very innocuous play, but it was like, no. He was getting pelted for weeks on end leading up to
I go back to that Chiefs game where they got obliterated.
He threw
right?
one of the worst red zone interceptions I've ever seen.
Well, and that was Chris McCaffrey, I think, first game with the team, right?
It was so bad. But he got hit really hard. And so you could see it coming a mile away in terms of his injury. He was getting hit way too hard. 2021, you could see the injury coming. He's getting hit too hard. You could see it. Like, Trey Lance got folded multiple times in the two games that he played, the Arizona game and in the game against Houston. So it wasn't just one quarterback. Multiple guys were getting pelted. Even in the following year, they protected Brock Purdy pretty well. They did. I thought that he limited the amount of times he was getting squared up. That year, he did a really good job. Last year, I thought that they did a poor job protecting the quarterback. You know, so that is on Kyle. That's on the offensive line. That's on scheme. That's on play calling. There's a lot of that gets into it. I got to see what it looks like. If Brock is just scrambling like Jimmy did in 2018 and he goes to cut and blows his ACL out, like, how's that on Kyle?
It's a great point, but I'll also say this. Like, you just referenced all those guys getting hurt and you're not shoring up the offensive line. Like, I'm looking at it right now. The only time you address, I'm just looking at draft, Joe. I can only go.
They're the only team in the NFL that has failed to draft a center or tackle in the last three drafts.
That's incredible. When every single time I look up at the best teams in the NFL that are there at the very end, it's really the Niners are the exception to the rule when it comes to elite O-line play. But I would argue that's the reason they haven't won the Super Bowl ultimately. It's because of the O-line play. It falls apart.
There's a lot of reasons.
Well, no, but like, you can look to the O-line
play.
Look,
just hear me out. Bosa makes a tackle on 4th and 2. They win the Super Bowl. We're not ever having.
Yeah, but we don't.
It's a play here and a play.
A blown
there.
Assignment too. We had Ayuk for a touchdown. I mean, right? I know. I hear you, Joe. But I'm saying
one of the best seasons we've ever.
I'm
seen.
Not saying it's the ultimate reason, but it is a reason.
It's a factor.
It's a factor, right? And I look at the lack of execution in said draft, as you're talking about. I mean, Connor Colby, 2025 this year in the 7th round. Dominic Pooney, that was a hit. That was nice to see last year in the 3rd round, right? Jarrett Kingston in the 6th round last year. I'm just going through the list, and I keep waiting to get an offensive lineman. Oh, finally, Aaron Banks in the 2nd round.
Who left in free agency.
Who left? Like that's what I'm getting at here, Joe. You don't make it a priority when every other team does. And at the end of the day, the Philadelphia Eagles that have made that their ultimate priority, they're winning the Super Bowls here. They're the ones competing for the titles year in and year out. Not to say the Niners aren't. They've gotten there. They have. But I think it's been more the exception to the rule that is offensive line gets you to the promised land ultimately. It's always been the trenches, always has been, always will be. We've talked to Baldy ad nauseum about this, a former offensive lineman in his own right. It does kind of bother me, Joe, that him and John Lynch don't address this. And is that just a philosophy thing?
I think it is. I think it's philosophy. I also think it's style
hubris,
of play.
Like,
no, I think it's style of play, philosophy, best overall within the draft. And also, Joe, they had a lot this year. I'll cape up for them. They had a lot of holes. They let a lot of people. That's why I think this year's a transition year. Like, I think even if they start off slow, finish the year on a high note, I want to make the playoffs. There's no question. But I'm keeping my expectations very, very, very low. They had 8 spots on defense up for grabs. They couldn't just draft O-lineman with the first 3 picks because D-line was such a big need. Linebacker, a big need. Safety, corner, big needs. Special teams, they have needs. Like, there are needs across the board.
I mean, would you have been mad if they drafted an offensive lineman in the first or second round? No, I don't think
but
either.
Then we would have a conversation about defensive line.
Well, no, that's absolutely the case. But I'll say this.
I don't think they had enough picks this year to solve all their holes. Because I do think they've got some nice pillars. There's a lot of holes. This is not the 2023. Niners.
I understand here, but when we're talking about both of those lines, we have 2 players that could not be on opposite sides when it comes to the age spectrum. I have Nick Bosa there, who's still relatively young.
He's in his prime.
He's in his prime.
I think he's prime for maybe his best year.
So I have him going forward. I have Trent Williams for how much longer?
I don't
know. Maybe a year?
And I don't know where level he's at.
So wouldn't it have been more prudent to shore up that offensive line?
Look, I wanted them to take a tackle. But again, in this scenario, they literally need defensive linemen. They viewed it as, well, we have Colt McKivitz as a starter, and you could say that, hey, Colton's not good enough, but some metrics tell you he's not bad. He's not the worst guy at his position, and you have Trent Williams. Like, they felt confident in that. We will see if their confidence is correct.
I want to hear from John Lynch, because he is the architect. It's him and Shanahan, but you know what? He's the GM, so I'm going to give him credit when it's due, and I'm going to crush him when it's justified. This was John Lynch back on July 22nd, Joe, as they're starting to get into training camp, talking about the mindset that this team, this 49ers team, needs to have in training camp and at the start of the season.
Being around this league for a long time, each year is a new year, and you earn everything you get. And, you know, there's some excitement and newness every year in this league with this team. There's a lot of young, new players who we've added. And with that comes some unknown, but it's also exciting. And so, but what I would say is we have a tremendous core of players, and they got to decide what they want this team to be. And a lot of things have to fall in place. But I do know that, you know, what happened last year, and there's a lot of reasons, fell short of our standard. And our guys understand that extremely well. And I think they're very motivated, like Kyle said, to do everything and be very intentional. And that's one thing I love about Kyle and the way he organizes practices. It's all with one intent, to have the team as ready as they can be. And with that, at times, takes some risk. We're not going to go through a training camp 100% healthy. We understand that. We try to do everything we can to account for that and put our players in the best situation, but you have to work. You have to callus up. And I think it's about that work, and it's really exciting.
Well, that was back on July 22nd, and he said, we're going to get some injuries in training camp. I don't know if you expected to have this many injuries this early on.
We're here. I want to get in. You brought up like the Rams and the division and everything. And I kind of just want to have a conversation regarding that.
Okay. We're going to do that on the other side. Plus, I do want to get into what we always get into this time of year, Joe. What do we love? Quarterback rankings. Mike Sando of The Athletic comes out with it every single year. And wait till you hear where Brock Purdy ended up on said rankings. I don't think Niner fans are going to be happy with this, and it's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 7:30, NBC, Joe.
Oh, nice.
How about that?
Nice.
Are you excited for the music to start going, too? You excited?
Yeah.
Round Ball Rock?
Yeah.
Yep. Tuesday, October 21st, Warriors at Lakers to kick off the season. Will LeBron James be there? I'm assuming he will. I don't, apparently.
No, he's golfing poorly somewhere.
Oh, there it is.
I heard that somewhere Luca is trying to get Raffy Devers on his little workout regimen.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Luca's looking slim.
I don't.
He's looking good.
Yeah, good.
Just give him his credit. I mean,
wow, Luca, you signed a $7 gazillion deal and you're in shape.
Again, you mentioned Raffy.
You're supposed to be in shape.
He got shorted, Devers. Honestly, on his money.
He got shorted. You thought he should have been more? Well, I think it's very prudent of what he's doing. He's doing what you're talking about. He's trying to line up with who? He's trying to make the Baltic states connected.
I told you guys, Jokic will find his way somehow with the Lakers. It's going to happen.
It's too hustle and bustle for him. He's fine.
The Lakers get funneled.
He's fine in the mountains.
You know this.
He's fine in the mountains of Denver, Colorado, where no one gives a rip about that team. He's fine being up there, battling with the Bears, like in Siberia.
When it happens, you will apologize to me. I have a bigger question to you. Forget the L.A. Lakers. Let's talk about the L.A. Rams. Why do you hold them in such high regard? You're not alone. A lot of people do. Why?
The Lakers?
No, the Rams.
Oh, the Rams? Why? Because I think they've done it the right way.
I want to make sure that we're remembering what really happened the last two seasons.
What can I finish?
How many wins have they had the last 2 years? Regular season.
What, 10 last year? Was it 10? And then the year prior, 7?
10.
10? Oh, okay.
They started 3-6 in 2023.
Oh, that's right. I was actually really high on the Rams the season prior, and then they lost. That's right.
We hold the Rams up here like they are just like this juggernaut. It is the most bizarre thing.
You know
thing
why? Because they've won. Okay. They've won the Super Bowl.
I'm asking you what they really were the last 2 years. Like, and I think this is important.
They were dangerous teams because people that are high up in football told me they were dangerous.
Because
Brian Baldinger's being one of them.
Of course.
You respect Baldy. I respect him. He told me to worry about the Rams. And you know what, Joe? The Eagles were worried about him at one point last year in the playoffs. The Rams could have easily, had that game gone a different way, had there been a connection there with Cooper Kupp late, maybe we're talking about the Rams winning another title.
Okay,
it's not that crazy.
Coulda, shoulda. I'm not saying they're a good team. So is the Tampa Bay Bucks, and yet we sleep on the Bucks.
I don't believe in Todd Bowles.
They've won almost the same amount of games the last 2 years.
Yeah, but in the playoffs, I don't believe in Todd Bowles against some of the other big boys. No, you're scoffing.
Your dismissal is funny. It's funny.
No, I'm not dismissing what they did in the regular season.
Tampa Bay has been almost as good, if not better, than the Rams in the last two regular seasons. Yet we hold the Rams in high regard.
Because they've won a Super Bowl. It matters.
Not this team.
No, but that head coach and that quarterback,
okay.
That matters.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That's all that matters.
So, okay.
Why did we hold the Seahawks in high regard for so long?
Because they had the greatest defense we have ever seen.
No, but even
secondary
after that,
wise.
Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. Yes.
No. Joe, the Legion of Boom is one of the great defenses of all time.
Okay.
And like, come on.
Real quick.
They went to back-to-back Super Bowls.
I want to get this through because this is important as we are the flagship of the Golden State Warriors. Some of the other big games, Thursday, October 23rd, that first week is going to be massive because they're taking on the Denver Nuggets at Chase Center. That's going to be their home opener at Chase Center against the Denver Nuggets. The aforementioned Nikola Jokic. That's going to be on ESPN. And that's going to be at 7 o'clock Thursday. And then Christmas. Christmas is against old pal Klay Thompson as the Warriors are hosting the Dallas Mavericks. And, obviously, Cooper Flagg, the reigning number one overall pick. That's going to be at 2 o'clock Pacific time, ABC. So there you go. Can't wait for the Warriors season as the Kuminga crisis might come to a head.
You're doing that. I'm glad you're doing it because you're doing what a lot of fans do, which is, I'm just going to give Stafford and McVay the benefit of the doubt. Which,
I mean, haven't they earned some of it?
They won one Super Bowl. All right? We're acting like they're a multi-Super Bowl champion that is battle-tested and has been to back-to-back-to-back NFC championship games. No. Like, they're a really good team. I'm not even trying to, like, throw gasoline on them or throw ice water on them. I'm saying, let's have perspective.
I mean, they clapped the Vikings in round one last year when everyone was telling me that Vikings was an amazing
season. Let me finish. They were 3-6 in 2023. Do you remember that? Most people don't. They were 3-6. They finished the season 10-7. All right. What were they to start the year last year? Do you remember what they were?
They were teetering going into that Niners game. What were they last year?
They started off, even that's with one Niner win that they shouldn't have won. They were 1-4.
Yeah.
And in both seasons, they got their season right after the bye week. Okay. And then they finished the season 9-2. Okay. And because of the Vikings, who you poop on every single day, Because of that Viking roster and that team where Justin Jefferson caught a 40-yard bomb from Sam Darnold, the Seahawks lost the division. They had the same amount of wins. The Seahawks could have, if they hold on and they beat the Vikings, could have won that division and the Rams wouldn't even have made the playoffs. All right. Now, the Rams sat guys at the end of both 2023 and 2024. Jimmy Garoppolo played in that final game for them because they had shored up the division because of the loss by the Seahawks. What I am saying is that this thing that the mystique of the Rams, it's all up in the air. And that team, at multiple points in the last 2 years, was on the precipice of trading away core players. They had a bunch of young guys who got better by the end of the year. And the team that came into the playoffs last year was a totally different team that started the season 1-4 and 3-6 the year prior. And I think the way I view the Niners is similar to the Rams this year. I actually have as much respect for Shanahan and Purdy as I do Stafford and McVay, in the sense that they're battle-tested. Purdy and Shanahan have won more playoff games than McVay and Stafford. Yes, Stafford and McVay have the fourth quarter that has eluded both Purdy and Shanahan and all Shanahan's prior iterations, all right? But again, if Bosa makes a tackle on 4th-and-2, if maybe Burford blocks up front, you know, the margin's so thin between how we benefit of doubt Shanahan and Brock versus what we're giving and bestowing upon Stafford and McVay. I just find the exercise absurd when they're very, very, very close. And what I'm saying is that if I told you the Niners started off this year kind of slow and they were the team that was 1-4 or 3-6 before their bye week, I don't know when their bye week is, I haven't looked at it, but I know they have 5 games in the first 5 weeks, and that 5th game is on a Thursday, then they have a big break. If they started off 2-3 to start the season, they could be the team that kind of resets themselves with a long extended break, come back with a bunch of young guys. They're getting healthier. They get return of the troops of a guy like Brandon Ayuk. And by December, we're discussing them as the Rams of 2023, as the Rams of 2024. That's the dangerous team nobody wants to see. That, to me, feels like the most plausible way that I view the 49ers heading into 2025. I find it absurd that a 20-win team over the last 2 years, the Rams, is talked about like they're a juggernaut, when in reality, they could have easily missed the playoffs in both years, and we could not give them this benefit of the doubt that I find to be a little absurd. Well, they're a good team.
They did make the playoffs, and they did humble the Minnesota Vikings, who are coming off a great regular season, but again, you know, and the Rams had to play some adversity there, too. They didn't have a home to play in because of the fires going on.
Neither did the Niners.
When they went the
COVID year. Well, no one cares.
This is the playoffs, though. Like, I'm saying, like, the Rams couldn't even host a playoff game last year against the Vikings. They had to go to Arizona to go play them. And again, you're not going to want to hear this.
SoFi's not a home stadium anyway for them, but whatever.
Sure. But again, they earned that right to play at home. I'm sure it's easier for them to be at home and get ready for the game at home with their wife, their kids, or significant others, whatever. They had to go on the road when they should have hosted a game. And I thought that was an impressive win that they were able to do and kind of shut down Sam Darnold. And that's why a lot of people have question marks on Sam Darnold. The final two games that he had, like, legitimate tests against the Detroit Lions and Los Angeles Rams, he kind of fell flat in his face there. And a lot of people are like, I'm not sure about Sam Darnold. So much so, I think the Minnesota Vikings were fine with handing the keys over to J.J. McCarthy this season after a redshirt rookie year. But why are we all in on the L.A. Rams? Why do we give them the benefit of the doubt that we don't give the Niners? And yeah, you're going to say it's kind of stupid, but I don't care. It's because they won the Super Bowl.
Well, then
why
do we give Joe? I'm serious on this. Why does Joe Burrow? And Joe Burrow's awesome. He's better than Purdy. I agree. But yet he gets this benefit of the doubt, and we don't bestow it upon Shanahan and
because
Purdy.
It's almost like an accomplishment that Burrow got
to the Super Bowl, and yet we knock Purdy and Shanahan for not getting it done in the very end, losing in overtime.
He's the only one in the AFC to beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, outside of Tom Brady with the New England Patriots.
Okay.
That matters to people. Okay. And also, Joe Burrow's an interesting
Mahomes
one.
Mahomes got a concussion in that game.
Real quick.
He turned the ball over three times in the second half.
He also blew a big lead. But I'll say this. I think Joe Burrow's an interesting case because of what he meant in college and winning with that national championship team.
The greatest roster we've ever seen.
I know, but his whole, you know, the aura. No, but like his social media image and who he is, like, there is a lot of mystique around Joe Burrow. You might scoff at that, but that's the reality.
No, he's a great
People
player.
View him differently.
He's a great player. But I think the way we talk about the Niners, to me, drives me crazy. We act like they're bums. Like, they're just bums. And I'm saying to myself, the margins are so thin in the NFL in general. We bestow benefit of the doubt on Stafford and McVay when the reality is that Shanahan and Purdy and the success that they've had is so close. You take Shanahan and Purdy, I'm taking, you know, McVay and Stafford. You take McVay and Stafford, I'm running to take Purdy and Shanahan. They're so close. Yet we talk about them like there's a Grand Canyon gap, and I don't think there is that big of a gap.
It's an interesting question because I do feel like if you pulled some Niner fans right now, like, are you keeping Kyle Shanahan if Sean McVay's out there?
McVay's a good coach.
Would you rather?
He's coached him up the last couple of years. There's no doubt. And Kyle, it's going to be on Kyle this time to have a hell of a year coaching-wise.
I'll say this, and your point is well put. If they can have a season like the Rams did last year, that would be huge, and maybe no one wants to face the Niners come playoff then. Maybe they're the dangerous team that no one wants to face. But part of the reason the Rams had success last year was the emergence of those rookies on that defensive line. And that's what they're going to need. The 49ers are going to need this year when it comes to the likes of Mykal Williams, because Jared Verse and Braden Fisk last year for the Rams were massive difference makers. They just were. Hell, you saw that in that Philly game. Like, they almost collapsed late because of that defensive line was just gashing that offensive line of the Rams late. That vaunted offensive line. Jalen Hurts didn't know what to do. Now, the secondary is part of that, and it was snowing, and there was a lot baked into it. But are we giving the Rams more for the benefit of the doubt because of the Super Bowl win? Yes. Does Shanahan deserve that, though, from getting two Super Bowls?
There's only really one guy who we're talking about who was on that Super Bowl just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, who was it? It's Stafford. Like, name me another guy who's on their team right now.
No, they just moved off of Cooper Kupp, obviously. No more Aaron Donald.
Like, the team is dramatically different.
I have to look at the depth chart. Yes.
Look, they're a good team. I want to make it clear. It's a very good team. But they're a completely different team than the Super Bowl team from just a couple of years ago. And the margins are so thin. I don't think the Rams are, oh my God, head and shoulders better than the Niners.
No.
That, I think, is nonsense.
No, but the overall point of giving them the benefit of the doubt is because of the Super Bowl. And whether that's right or wrong, that's what we do. I'm with you on the Rams this season, though, Joe. I think that's where we can agree. They're vulnerable. Like,
every team besides Philly feels extremely vulnerable.
Exactly. Now, this division's a little bit different. If the 49ers were in the NFC North, maybe I'm feeling a little bit different about their expectations this season. But the fact that they're in the NFC West, when there's question marks on Kyler Murray and Jonathan Gannon, when there's question marks on Sam Darnold in Seattle, and there's question marks, Matt Stafford still hasn't practiced. He's still in street clothes. They said that he was supposed to practice yesterday for the Rams. He's not there. And now I look at their starting tackle has blood clot issues. It started 14 games for them. Their left tackle for the Rams, he might not even start week one. So they could have Jimmy Garoppolo starting week one and not with the left tackle, a backup.
And if I told you that was the case, how would you view the Rams?
Oh, they're cooked. Yes.
I still think they could win, you know, 8-9 games, give or take. But there's a ceiling on their success.
Literally, the only reason I give them their benefit, Joe, is because of the head coach and the quarterback combination. I give them that much credit. Not to say they're in the level of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, but that's why I gave the Patriots so much. Because they had a bunch of names I'd never even heard of. But I gave them so much respect because of that head coach quarterback combination. Has Purdy and Shanahan earned that level of trust for me yet? No, they have not. They have not earned that yet. Now, if they make the playoffs this year, that will go a long way in doing that. That'll be three different playoffs that they've made together as a tandem, albeit one of them was like a half a season, if you will, or if that. But 888-957-9570 is the number to weigh on this conversation. As we're talking about Mike Sando's latest piece in The Athletic, talking about the quarterbacks and the quarterback rankings, I think it's very interesting when we start breaking these things down, because what do we love? We love when we break these things down. We love quarterback conversations and where Brock Purdy is ranked, right? Well, Mike Sando was on yesterday with Willard and Dibbs, and I do want to get to that and shout out the River Islands guest line. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? But Mike Sando had his latest piece yesterday when it comes to NFL quarterback tiers 2025. There's tier one, obviously. There's tier two, and then there's the tier three. So tier one, as my computer just shut down. I mean, great. That's awesome. I love when that happens. But tier one is the best of the bunch. It's going to be who we all think it is. It's going to be Mahomes. It's going to be Lamar Jackson. It's going to be Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. And I believe Matt Stafford rounded out that top five, right? So
let me pull it up here.
Thank you, because it literally just crashed on me. Sorry, guys. Thank you. I just added up, and you know what? That happens in life, and that's adversity, and we got to fight through it. It's like as we're talking back to school, you're showing up, and it's the first day, and you don't have your book report, or you don't have your textbook.
Here you go.
That was me a couple times.
Tier one. This is so hilarious. Here's tier one. T1, and it's tied for first. Mahomes and Burrow.
Stop!
Number three, Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson's four. Stafford is five. Tier two, Jaden Daniels is six. Herbert is seven. Goff is eight. Stroud is tied for ninth with Jalen Hurts. Baker Mayfield, 11. Dak, 12. Jordan Love, 13. Brock Purdy, 14. They're all in tier two.
Brock Purdy at 14, but tier three starts at 15. So he's the last of the tier two, and he's teetering on tier three when it comes to this quarterback conversation. Now, this isn't the end-all be-all. Brock could surge up. He could surge. It doesn't matter, right? At the end of the day, that being said, when we have these conversations, when we talk about the tier one, why we give those guys the benefit of the doubt, why they get paid all those money, is because you feel like you can compete every single week and every single year and get to the playoffs with those guys, no matter what, Joe. No matter what. That's what separates the top five from the rest of those guys.
Here's what it says.
I don't have a question mark for Matt Stafford, by the way. Continue.
Tier one quarterback can carry his team every single week. The team wins because of him. And he expertly handles pure passing situation, has no holes in their game. Again, those tier one guys are Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar, and Stafford.
It's funny. I'm looking at the biggest changes from 2024 to 2025 because he does this yearly. Brock Purdy is down two slots. So he was, what, the 12th then last year? Okay. Not that big of a difference. I think Brock Purdy was still, there was a lot of question marks even after the Super Bowl run and even being an MVP candidate. It was like, all right, let's see him do it again, right? Let's see him do it again. And I think a lot of people either were proven right or proven wrong or however side of the aisle they felt this past year. Now, and I'll have a chance to shout out people if he wants to do so this year. But Sam Darnold was the biggest jump from last year to this year. He was ranked 20th, and he was plus nine now. Plus nine Sam Darnold. That's pretty crazy. He was ranked 29th, and now he's at 20, tied with the Bo Nixes of the world. So he was not even thought to be a starter. Really, a fringe starter, and J.J. McCarthy goes down, and he shot himself. It just shows how fluid these things are. But when you saw that, Joe, when you saw Tier 2 Brock Purdy teetering on Tier 3, what went through your mind?
Let's see where he's at the end of this year.
Okay.
And, like, it also shows me, when I look at that list and that grouping, boy, you could win the Super Bowl and look incredible in the playoffs like Jalen Hurts did, and we're still going to doubt you. It's so stupid.
It's dumb.
No, right? It's stupid. Like that guy's proven he's a big game. I've doubted him at every turn. I've kind of given in. Like, he's a really good player.
Justin Herbert, I don't get it. I'm just going to be.
Looks the part.
I don't care what looks like.
I know. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm saying I'm explaining why. Like, even C.J. Stroud. His rookie year, look at the numbers, they're not that great. And last year, he had a down year. Now, he was also missing his wide receiver, multiple ones, Nico and Tank.
And CJ Stroud outplayed Justin Herbert in that playoff game. So, if anything, how is Justin Herbert ranked ahead of CJ Stroud?
Honestly, part of the problem with this list is it doesn't take into account playoffs and how you perform in the playoffs. Correct. As you just mentioned, Dak has been awful in the playoffs.
If I told you today, hey, you know, without his OC, Jared Goff's going to have a really tough year this year. And him and let's just say Baker or him and Brock flip-flop spots. Would anyone be surprised?
No.
No, not at all. Like, and look, I will die on this hill when it comes to Dak Prescott. He's triggering for most. He's a good player.
Yes.
But when it gets January, none of us believe in him. He is a good player. He can win you. They won 12 games 3 years in a row, whatever it was. He's a good player. Do I believe in him in the playoffs? Absolutely not.
Tier two. A tier two quarterback can carry his team sometimes, but not as consistently. He can handle pure passing situation in doses and or possess other dimensions that are special enough to elevate him above tier three. He has a hole or two in his game. It's funny how we do this with the quarterbacks. I would love to do this with every single position group too. And that's going to be a lot. I'm sure Pro Football Focus has that. But like, if the Niners have a tier two quarterback, do they have a tier two grouping anywhere else on this roster? Is there a tier two anywhere else when it comes to just the tight grouping? End. The tight end?
They're
okay.
Tier one.
Defensive end.
They're tier one.
Tier one. Tier one defensive there. End with maybe with Huff and Bosa, but Bosa's going to be the one that leans you in there.
He's below Watt and Myles Garrett, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's still at minimum tier two. Wouldn't we agree? Bosa by himself.
See, no, Bosa's kind of like, he's in the top five for me. I'm going in any order, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, Nick Bosa, Max Crosby, Micah Parsons. Those
you
are
you
five.
Have to remember also in defensive ends or edges, however you put it, there's two sides of it.
Yes.
Like whereas in quarterback and tight end, typically there's one that plays the majority of snaps, whereas on any formation you have two edges.
Is Trent Williams still a tier one left tackle?
I think if we're going tackles,
yeah,
McKivitz will drop him down.
Oh my god!
But you're heavily weighting Trent Williams.
No, but that's
there's
why
there's a lot of good tackles right now in the game.
There is, and the Niners
probably
don't have
four or five really good ones.
And that's why it's kind of driving me nuts.
One of them went down,
and that's why we talk about we could talk about these quarters as much these quarterbacks as much as we want, Joe. At the end of the day, it's who's protecting them too. And I get it, and it's unfair that Jalen Hurts is ranked this low, and Jalen won the title. I think he loves this as his motivation. All these guys do. They use it. They're not going to tell you, but they use it as the motivation. Him being ranked ninth after going to his second Super Bowl and balling out in his second Super Bowl and winning the MVP, and I got C.J. Stroud, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert. It's one thing for C.J. Stroud, I guess, if you're projecting it, but Jaden Daniels, who's done it once?
It was a pretty special season, though.
It was, and I get it. The Commanders were a dumpster fire.
I mean, it's to do it again. But I mean, that's what I said with C.J. Stroud last year. Like, C.J. Stroud was awesome in the playoffs in his rookie year. It's like, all right, well, let's see you do it again. That's the hallmark of the great players. Joe, the reason why Lamar is viewed the way is he's amazing year after year after year. That's what separates them.
If you were going to bet one way or the other, Joe, this time next season, is Brock Purdy going to be viewed closer as a tier one quarterback or a tier three quarterback?
I think he's closer to one. I think he moves up into the top 10.
Okay. 888-957.
Look, he was 6-9 last year, and at times, I actually thought he played worse than we thought and way better than we thought. And it felt like things were crumbling around them out of his control. He went 6-9. Imagine if they had decent special teams and were closer to, let's just say, 7-6 or whatever, or 7-8, instead of 6-9. Like, I think things would look a lot different had a couple of games bounce their way. Ronnie Bell catches that ball or Jake Moody hits that field goal and they beat the Rams. And the Rams start off last year 0-5. How are we viewing Stafford then? And they don't make the playoffs.
This is Mike Sando on yesterday with Willard and Dibbs on if he sees a scenario that could put Purdy into tier one.
If what happened to the 49ers last year injury-wise were to happen and they win 11-6, you'd have to say, wow, that quarterback was able to carry them and offset was a really difficult situation.
See, I think a lot of people are viewing this past season as an opportunity for Brock to do that, and he didn't do it last year. So people think, oh, he's not the guy. He can't do it. I think there was so much else baked into last year coming from the drama and camp, not having your left tackle, not having your number one wide receiver, having your first round pick, your wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall, getting shot. There was so much last year that I don't think anyone other quarterback, maybe Patrick Mahomes and maybe like a Josh Allen could have came in there and maybe taken that team to the playoffs, but it might have just been doomed from the start coming off that Super Bowl hangover. Everyone was just down on themselves. You had a couple of inspiring performances from the Fred Warners and George Kittles. But outside of that, no one else was really looking up to snuff last year. And I don't put that solely on Brock Purdy. But I'm not going to fault the fans that say, you know what, Joe? I was underwhelmed from the quarterback last year after he had an MVP caliber season. I would have liked to see him do more with less. He's going to have to this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be the biggest question mark, I think, this season is if Brock needs to carry this team. Can he do that? I don't know.
So, like, you know, he missed a couple throws in the Seattle game when they got the ball back and Geno marched down and beat them. Yep. The game at home. I referenced the Ronnie Bell game against the Rams. Let's say that game goes their favor. And then, I don't know, the defense gets a stop on Geno Smith late in that game. They win that. Like, you see what I'm saying with this? Like, yep. It's not just on the quarterback. The rest of the team is going to have to help out. You know, I love Jordan Mason. He fumbled big time in that Arizona game that they ended up losing in the second half. A huge turnover that ended up costing them. Yes, he's going to have to play better, but the team as a whole let everyone down last year, and he's a part of that. And so I look at it this year, and I think just having a better special teams unit is going to make them significantly better. I cannot express enough how much, as bad as our defense was, the special teams, they should have fired the guy after week 6 or 7.
It was awful. It was horrible. I mean,
awful.
You can say that as much awful. As you want about the special teams unit when it comes to Kyle Shanahan. They've all been bad, and hopefully Boyer is going to be better because he has some ties, obviously, with New York and Robert Saleh, and he was there for so damn long. I just want some normalcy and some continuity at that spot going forward because I know I have it with Shanahan. I know I have it with Robert Saleh. Can we just get it with special teams, for the love of God? As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM,